before they started singing, is living on purpose. And living on purpose means that we have an intention to live a certain way, on purpose, purposefully. And the purpose that we bring, so today's lesson, today's message, discussion, is your purpose for your life, your life's purpose. And a few weeks ago, Reverend Michael Gott was here, and he did a wonderful workshop about exploring what were the talents and gifts and the things that you've been given that you are to give back. So it is about that, but honestly, where it begins is knowing who you are, remembering who you are. Reverend Karen chooses the songs for the month, and one of the songs that she suggested that I really like, but it's a chant kind of song, is a John Anson chant, and it's Love, Serve, and Remember. Mm-hmm. Why are you here? Do you remember? Why have you taken birth? Why have you come? To love, serve, and remember. And truly, that's where it starts. We come to express this thing itself that's within us. We're made in the image and likeness of the One. We've come here to be more of that. And yet so many of us have spent much of our time playing small, saying, oh, that's going to sound conceited, or that I think too highly of myself. Could God think too highly of itself? Could God think too highly of itself? Not at all, ever. We're just beginning to understand who we really are. It's a very good thing. Would God need to have Adelaide's? Absolutely not. God doesn't care, could care less about that. God's intention is for expression, to express those talents, those things, that greatness that is you. And for me, the greatness that is me. I want to tell you a little bit about where I've been the last 2 weeks. Last weekend, I was at our Lake Arrowhead retreat, and you should put it on your calendars right now, because honestly, this is a really moving spiritual experience, and it was more so this year than ever before, I believe. Reverend Judy was there, and June, Kim, Dave, and Gina, and me, and then, of course, almost all of the Redondo Beach Church, at least 95 of the Redondo Beach members, and about 14 or 15 of the Granada Hills members. The retreat itself was phenomenal because it drew forth from us an authenticity, a truth, a beauty, a wholeness that is God in expression. And I had this wonderful, interesting thing happen, and I'm going to tell you, and you have to hear it the way, you can hear it however you hear it. I can't control that, can I? I'm going to hear it how you hear it. Okay, so I usually, and every other year it's happened this way, that we speak Friday night, little short, hi, how are you? Saturday morning, longer talks. And then Saturday afternoon, workshops. And usually I get a Saturday afternoon workshop and everyone attends. But this year, so it starts Friday, on Saturday all day and all night, and Sunday, a wonderful Tizay service. There's been yoga and meditation in the morning, and then the Tizay service, and then lunch. And then that was my spot. And I honestly thought I'd have maybe 15 or 20 of the 95 people come. Because it was a beautiful day in Lake Arrowhead, the lake was beckoning, and it was hot in the room, in the program room. So I thought, not because they didn't love me, but because they would want to look after themselves, they would not come. And they kept coming. There were about 90 people in the room when I started the workshop. And there were the same number workshop, which really surprised me. It's like, wow, you'd rather do this than be out there playing. And I mentioned that at the end of the workshop, how honored I was that they stayed and they listened and they participated. And later that night, when we were line dancing, a woman came up to me, a Redondo Beach woman that I've seen before, a younger woman, and she said, "Dr. Heather, I was so surprised to hear you say that you were surprised. Don't you know you're a legend?" Well, I didn't know that. I mean, it really did expand my mind, or blew it, I'm not sure, but it was a surprise to me. It was a surprise to me because in my mind, I'm still a beginning minister. In my mind, I'm still, you know, I'm still 22 years ago just starting out. And it isn't true. And the thing that I know most about is the science of mind. And so I am an expert on the science of mind. And I am an exceptional teacher of the science of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So from now on, I won't be surprised when whole bunches of people show up to listen to you. You're legendary. She would say, so, okay, now I can laugh about it as well. Because it's not about puffing up the ego. It's about reminding self, why have you come? Are you doing the thing you've come to do? Are you doing the thing you've come to do? And are you doing it with your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole being? Or do you get sidetracked? We all get sidetracked sometimes. I'm preparing, as you know, for the... I'm so glad you came. Welcome. But sometimes we get sidetracked because life signals us with something. A surprise. A loss. A change we weren't expecting. And that's the very time that we're called to really remember what we've come to be and do. That's the time. I'm preparing for this Prosperity Plus 2, and so I have the CDs in my car playing all the time, and I've listened to 9 of the 10 CDs. It's fabulous. You're going to love it. If you take it Prosperity Plus 1, you can take Prosperity Plus 2. It's based, she bases it on Genevieve Behrens' little book called Her Invisible Power. Who is Genevieve Behrens? You probably haven't even heard of her. She was Thomas Troward's only student. Thomas Troward was someone who influenced Ernest Holmes a great deal. In fact, one of Dr. Holmes' books is really a book study on Thomas Troward's Edinburgh lectures. So I want to tell you about this woman, just a little bit. Because she remembered who she is, and she used what she knew even when it seemed impossible. So this was sometime before 1920, sometime in the teens. And she heard of Troward. And she said, "I'm going to study with Thomas Troward." So she started writing him letters, and he answered letters saying, "I don't take students. I will not teach you." But she knew she was going to study with Thomas Troward. So now imagine this. She's a young woman, 22 years old. She's widowed. Her husband left her a stipend, meaning it was probably enough that if she stayed in that, I think she was in Los Angeles, if she stayed where she lived, she'd have enough to live for a few, probably the rest of her life. Probably just a small amount. She decided she was going to have to go to Great Britain to study the children. And she knew it would take her a lot of money because she would probably have to live there for 6 months or so as she's studying with him. She'd have to book passage because in those days that's how you get to Great Britain from the United States. And planned to have this all this time away. And so she thought to herself, it will probably take about $20,000. Now, in our today's terms, that's like you or me saying it will probably take about $500,000. Impossible. Impossible. Here's what she did. Every night and many times during the day, she would think about herself sitting on her bed, counting 20 $1,000 bills, counting them, seeing them, visualizing them, knowing, feeling, touching. This is her money. It's hers. It's in her intimate space. She refused to be discouraged. She declined discouragement. She declined. No, thank you. I'm saying yes to study with Judge Thomas Troward. Her story is even more amazing than that because she did go and study with him. And like your life and mine, sometimes life calls you in a direction you think, why on earth am I going this way? It doesn't feel sensible. Other people are telling me that I need to do it another way. That was one part of her story also. She said she knew she had to have an astrological chart done by this famous astrologer, who, by the way, didn't take private clients either. And so she's a woman who used her will to imagine what she did want, even and despite the fact that she did not have it. She used her creative faculty to imagine it as if it were already there. That's how we use the science of mind intelligently. So she got this intuition, that was last month, but she got this intuition that she needed to have this astrological chart done. In the meanwhile, with all of her letters, Troward had softened and he said, if you could give me the correct meaning of this Bible verse. It was a verse from Revelation, which you could read the book. But most of Revelation is like anyone could interpret it any way. How would you know what's the right interpretation, the right way to view this? So that's in the back of her head. She's asking everyone and feeling every answer is incorrect. You've been there too, right? Where you know that you're guided to something and people are suggesting you go a different way, and you know that's not your way. You're the one that knows your way. I'm the one that knows mine. So she knew, and she took a lady friend with her to this astrologer's house. And they were seated in the parlor, and he said, Madam, I am not going to do a chart for you. And she said something in her told her to keep seated, not to get up. Meanwhile, her friend, the social cue was to get up, and the friend was up and ready to go. And she could tell her friend was uncomfortable and embarrassed, and still she sat. Do we have that degree of faith in our own consciousness that we're willing to sit through someone else's uncomfortableness and embarrassment when we need to? So she sat. And then, all of a sudden, a big cat, a house cat, jumped in her lap. And the famous astrologer said, okay then, Jack, the cat's name. I guess you've spoken for her. He said, Madam, I will do your chart. They made arrangements to meet at a certain place, certain time. Bring me your information, so those of you who do astrology know that she needs to know the date, place and time of her birth, etc., etc. So she was gathering all that up, and still she knew she didn't really want the chart. And he even said to her, I can tell you're not really interested in this chart. But nevertheless, I will meet you at the lesson. So they met. She gave him the information, and it came to her to ask him what he thought she immediately telegraphed Troward, and he said, "Very well, madam, you may study with me, but first you must attend this lecture in London that he was giving the following in a few weeks." Amazing, amazing woman. She was practicing what we practice. But sometimes we get a little lazy. Sometimes we forget that we're creating everything we see out of this great love that Spirit has given us. Sometimes we think